This is Tell Me I'm What Your Hands Were Made For, written by Apocryphalia and read by Tipsy Kitty. Ed is still wearing Steve's cravat. He should be used to it by now. They've been back on board the Revenge for several weeks. His crew have all been returned to their rightful place, including Lucius, who crawled out from somewhere in the bowels of the ship, spitting fire, shortly after their arrival in Steed's comically overcrowded dinghy. Ed has come back to himself, and they've begun to settle into a new rhythm, spending nights curled together in their bed, and mornings taking breakfast in the crow's nest, ignoring Izzy's sullen glances. Still, each time Steed looks out across the deck, or turns his head toward the figure beside him in their quarters, and he catches a glimpse of black silk under black leather, something somersaults in his chest. He doesn't know if he'll ever get used to the sight of Ed wearing their history on his metaphorical sleeve. Sometimes, when they're in bed, he peels back the leather surrounding it, but leaves that little piece of silk in its place, a reminder of how far they've already come in their few short weeks together. Sometimes, he watches the black cloth sway against tan's skin, against the scars darkening its surface and the faded ink beneath, in time with the rhythm of their bodies. Other times he tosses it aside, the better to worship that skin. This time, Steed has another idea. They're in the cabin, Ed laid out beneath him on the bed. He's already removed his shirt and jacket, and Steed can feel the hard line of him straining against leather trousers where he straddles Ed's hips. His hair has been let down from its knot, fanned out against the pillow behind him like a silver halo. The cravat is still tied loose around his throat. God, but he's beautiful like this, Steed thinks. He trails the pads of his fingers lightly over Ed's chest, admiring how the smooth muscle of his shoulders gives way to soft flesh, the coarse trail of gray hair leading down from his belly, disappearing under the waist of his trousers. Watching the spread of a subtle flush across Ed's neck and chest, the way his breath hitches almost imperceptibly as his fingers tighten at Steed's waist. He traces the line of a silvery faded scar, always overcome by the way Ed's history is written into his skin, each beat of the man's life story sprawled across him as a star chart. Steed could follow the map etched there for the rest of his life, cataloging each X-marked spot in turn, connecting old wounds into endless new constellations. He wishes he could bury himself in that skin, and weave himself into its history, becoming the winding arm of a galaxy around Ed's sun. His fingers glide over the trail of the cravat where it rests over Ed's heart, and he takes hold of it, considering. "What shall we do with this, He asks aloud, gently prying open the knot and slipping the silk out from under Ed's neck. Ed doesn't answer, just watches him with eyes now nearly black, glittering in the candlelight. Steed takes one of the hands still resting at his waist and lifts it up over Ed's head, holding the wrists down against his pillow as he guides his other arm into position. He winds the cravat around Ed's wrists and knots it in place. A shudder runs through the body between his thighs. "Is this okay?" Steed asks, slipping one finger under the silk to check he hasn't tied it too tightly. Ed nods. His voice comes out low and strangled, already breathless. Yeah. Steed grins. "Good. Don't move now." He imbues his voice with a hint of the edge it carried at the party all those weeks ago, when he had told Ed to stand down, and he marvels at the effect it has now. Ed goes perfectly still, but for the rapid rise and fall of his chest, as Steed shifts down to cover his body with his own, one hand still grasped around Ed's wrists, and the other now cupping his stubbled jaw. Steed's nails press into the skin of Ed's throat, his kiss hard and hungry, and Ed whines when Steed takes his lower lip between his teeth. He still tastes of the wine they had with dinner, a rather nice Bordeaux recently pilfered from a French ship, and a faint trace of Steed's lavender soap clings to his skin. Steed has never much cared for bodies, his own being merely a vessel for finery, a blank canvas on which to drape exquisitely woven cloth, a necessity to enjoy sweet marmalades and carefully aged brandies, of course, but not particularly interesting on its own merits. And Mary's, well, A lovely specimen, he's sure, if that were one's cup of tea. He never gave it much thought, even while it was wrapped around his own. But Ed's body is a wonder. He trails his mouth down the long line of Ed's neck, savoring the feel of the rough beard growth against his lips. Steed can feel the pulse fluttering there under his skin, the thrum of Ed's vocal cords as he lets out a soft moan. He feels the twitch of the muscles under Ed's chest, the way the flesh rises to meet him when he sucks the nipple into his mouth, and for the first time Steed wishes he had in his library a book of anatomy. He has the sudden desire to learn the names of each muscle trembling under his touch, to chart the flow of the veins carrying Ed's lifeblood from that pounding heart, to run his fingers down Ed's spine, and recite the names of his vertebra like a love letter. "My God, you're gorgeous," he summarizes out loud, pulling back to tug at the fasteners of Ed's trousers. Ed lifts his hips off the mattress, allowing Steed to slide them down over his thighs and free his exquisite cock. It stands out from the salt and pepper nest of hair at the end of that trail Steed so adores, deliciously full, moisture already beading at the tip. He parts Ed's thighs and settles himself between them, taking hold of his hip bones in each hand. Ed is moaning before Steed's lips even close around him, trying and failing to thrust into the contact. Steed pulls off to look up at him. "I believe I said don't move." "Fuck," Ed groans. "Keep going, Steed, please." Steed can feel the tremor in his thighs, but he stills his hips, allowing Steed to hold him in place. "That's it? Very good," Steed answers softly, lips brushing against the head of Ed's cock, and then he swallows him whole in one fluid movement, fingers clenched tight around his hips, and Ed howls, desperate and wild. Steed's own cock throbs in response. He takes a steadying breath through his nose, buried against that cloud of hair, inhaling the oddly intoxicating scent of Ed's sweat, the salt dried on his skin, the distinctive tang of his arousal. Slowly he drags his lips up the length of Ed's shaft, and down again, setting a torturous pace. He watches the way Ed's chest heaves from below, privately recording the sound of each breath, the flutter of his eyelashes, the tendon that stands out in his neck as Ed's head falls back, each muscle drawn tight, trying desperately not to move. "Fuck. God. Please, Steed. A little faster. Fuck." Steed stops just short of allowing Ed to reach his climax. A wet thread of their combined slick hangs between them as he pulls away. "Fuck. You. Us. Ed sputters, panting, his face flushed beautifully. His hands are curled into fists above his head, still bound in black silk, thick veins thrown into relief against the surface of his skin. Steed sits back on his heels, wiping his mouth obscenely on the back of one hand. "Don't worry, darling, you'll come. When I tell you to. I'm not done with you yet." Ed groans again. His hips twitch against the mattress, constrained now only by sheer force of will. "Shit. Fuck. Are you trying to kill me?" "Only if you mean a little death." A smirk tugs at the corner of Steed's lips. "Though I suspect it'll be rather larger than that by the time I am done with you." He runs his fingers absently down the leg still stretched out to his right, and Ed shudders. "How do you like that idea, love? Is that all right?" "Is Christ. Yeah, yes." Ed's voice has gone high and breathy. Steed noticed from their first time together, inelegant though it was, how beautifully Ed takes direction. But in his wildest dreams, he never could have imagined how well he would take to this, everything they're doing now. Ed is staring at him through glazed eyes, his expression ravenous. His lips are parted, reddened with the combined force of both their teeth, breaths coming fast and heavy. He is also stock still, bound in Steed's cravat, frozen by Steed's command, and obediently waiting to be taken apart. Steed thinks he could die on the spot, and nothing behind the pearly gates could possibly be so divine. He leans over and kisses Ed roughly, feeding him the taste of himself on Steed's tongue. His spit-slick prick rubs against Steed's stomach where it's trapped between their bodies, and Ed moans into his mouth. "Ed, you're so beautiful," Steed breathes against his lips, rocking into Ed with his own steel-clothed erection. "So good. You're going to be good for me, hmm?" "Uh-huh." Ed nods helplessly, pinned beneath him. He lets out a strangled cry when Steed breaks contact, leaving him untouched, red and wanting, and sits up to rummage for something in his chest of drawers. He settles back between Ed's knees with a little glass vial. The finger dipped inside comes out slick with oil. Steed hikes Ed's leg up to rest on his right shoulder, and reaches between them to massage the tight ring of muscle between Ed's legs. It doesn't take much to set him gasping again, wound tightly as he is, a fraying rope ready to snap at the slightest provocation. Ed tries to wriggle in closer, to force himself around Steed's finger, then stills once more as he senses it ready to withdraw. "Yes, that's it, darling. Hold steady now." Steed turns his head to press a kiss to Ed's ankle, and presses his finger inside. With the same maddening pace at which he sucked Ed's cock, steadfastly ignoring his own ever-growing arousal, Steed thrusts into him with that single finger. He revels in Ed's little whimpers, the way he struggles to keep his eyes on Steed through heavy lids, the quiver he can feel in the leg on his shoulder each time Ed forces him still. "You feel so good, Ed. So tight. You're going to feel so wonderful in my cock." Steed slips another finger inside, and Ed's calf goes tense against his shoulder. He turns to bite down on his own arm, stifling a moan. Steed stills his fingers, still buried inside Ed. "Don't do that. I want to hear. You make the most wonderful sounds for me, and I want to hear all of them." Ed moans even louder under his arm. After a moment, he lets go, head rolling back helplessly against his pillow. "God, I can't. Please." "Please what?"
"Move. Fuck me. Please fuck me."
Steed crooks his fingers, finding that spot within Ed, and he cries out, throwing his hips up off the bed. Steed pulls out.
"No, no, please. Please let me. Shh."
Steed's fingers dig into Ed's thigh as he gathers the fraying edges of his own self-control. "Soon. Besides, would you rather come on my fingers or on my cock?" Ed moans, twitching against him once more.
"Good God, mate. Put your cock in me. Just fuck me. Please."
"Wait." Steed gently lowers Ed's leg back to the bed and stands, fingers trembling as he fumbles at the fly of his trousers. Each brush of the fabric against his skin sends a bolt of lightning skittering along his spine. He can feel the hunger in Ed's gaze, hot on his back, as he slowly frees himself from his trousers. He folds them carefully and places them on the nearby chair where his shirt already hangs, then takes a deep breath and turns to face Ed once more. And God, he's a sight. Laid out flat on his back in Steed's bed, legs still splayed open just where he'd left them, glistening with spit and sweat and oil. Those starving eyes, black holes shining in the dim light, are fixed on Steed and his nakedness, and Steed wishes he could preserve this sight forever, press it between the pages of a book as he had once pressed flowers. Had he Mary's skill with paints, or Lucius's even with a pen, he would immortalize this moment on canvas, keep Ed balanced on the edge for hours, just to reproduce every line of that perfect body, from the precise curve of his eyebrow to the knot of scar tissue where his left little toe ought to be. He could spend hours just on the shape of Ed's eyes, on the desire written plainly there, desire Steed still can't believe is for him. He keeps his gaze on those eyes as he picks up the oil once more and runs a slick palm up his own length, letting out an involuntary moan at the unmistakable movement of Ed's eyes, watching him. He kneels once more between Ed's legs, hitching both up around his shoulders this time, and they both cry out as Ed enters him. He rocks forward to reach for Ed's mouth, pinning his knees up into his chest, and Ed moans against his lips.
"You feel so good, Ed. Oh, you were so ready for me, weren't you?"
Steed whispers between hungry kisses, artless and clumsy. He rocks his hips in shallow circles.
"Steed, please, if you don't move, I swear to God."
Steed has Ed's throat in his teeth. His voice shakes, and Steed can feel it on his tongue.
"Then what, darling? I'm gonna die."
"Oh, well, we can't have that." Steed laughs breathlessly, and all at once he's pulling back, thrusting hard and deep into Ed once more. Ed wails and throws his head back against the pillow, bearing more of that gorgeous neck to Steed's teeth.
"Yes, that's it, love. Tell me how it feels. You've been so good for me. Hold on now, darling."
Steed's mouth is roving helplessly over Ed's neck, his lips, his jaw, the words spilling out against his skin. Ed is deliciously warm and tight around him, and Steed can already feel the pressure building as he thrusts into him faster, and faster still, collecting Ed's moans and whimpers on his tongue.
"Oh, God, I can't. I'm gonna..."
"Go on. Come for me, love. It's okay." "That's it, Ed. Oh, you're perfect. So beautiful." Steed takes Ed's cock in hand, and it only takes an instant before he's pulsing around Steed in great, powerful waves that seem to go on forever. Steed fucks him through it, struggling to keep his eyes open and fixed on Ed, drinking in the expression on his face as he comes, the way his bound hands tremble and grasp at empty air, the shape of his mouth when he cries out in pleasure. Steed's own release is close behind, and it hits him with the force of a ship run aground. Galaxies form behind his eyelids as he slams them shut, bursts of color swirling in the shape of Ed's stars. He ruts helplessly, twitching and spilling into Ed for a small eternity. When he finally stills, he has only the presence of mind to pull the silk from Ed's wrists before he collapses into his chest. They drift into satiated dreams, curled together with one another's sweat cooling on their skin. Ed is already gone from their bed when Steed wakes the next morning, in dismay at the state of their sheets. He finds him out on the deck, wrapped in Steed's dressing gown. The cravat is wound tightly around his neck like a collar, and the hand not clutching his teacup flutters absently over the black cloth. Steed's heart swells. For a moment, he's certain it's about to crack open his rib cage and ooze straight out of his chest. Ed senses his approach and turns to face Steed, hand dropping down to his side.
"It looks good like that,"
Steed says, nodding toward the cravat.
"Suits you."
"Wasn't exactly a fashion statement." Ed smirks, tugging the fabric down with one long finger to reveal the red bloom of a bruise. "I wouldn't say no to wearing it like this more often, though."
"I think that can be arranged."
Steed steps forward, grinning, and pulls Ed into a long kiss. Someone, probably Lucius, he thinks, coughs pointedly from across the deck.
"Now?"
Ed raises an eyebrow, and Steed realizes his fingers are still tangled in the knot at the back of Ed's neck. He steps back, clears his throat.
"Well, we'll need to change the sheets first. Maybe after tea?"
Ed laughs and turns to pour him a cup.
"Sounds like a plan."
The end.